Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Praise the Lord. Anybody excited about being in the house of God tonight?
Hallelujah.
Amen. We're going to continue in the series I started yesterday. Well, it's going to be a series today. Actually, started last week. We're going to continue in the series called Dig Deeper. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for who you are in our lives, oh God. I thank you to God for the ability to hear from you, dear God, to be able to speak to your people, dear God. I just pray to God that you would move in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, we are not going to be here long, but we are going to continue to dig deeper. Somebody say, dig deeper. Last week, I talked about Elisha getting ready to pass away, and the king came to him and said, hey, we're being surrounded. We gotta fight. And Elisha told him to strike the ground, and he only did it a few times. And you know, the interesting thing is Elisha never told him how many times to do it, right? So he's not completely at fault there, but there was something in his heart that kept him from going all the way. You know, and sometimes it's not just the things that are spoken, it's the things that are in our heart that keep us from digging deeper in God. Amen. So we always have to pray, God, clean my heart so that I can be where you want me to be. Amen. We also talked about Jesus being in the garden. And when he was praying, he was even telling God, look, God, I love you. This is great. It was a great idea, but I don't want to have to do it this way. But nonetheless, this is his digging deeper. Nonetheless, not my will, but your will be done. Right? To the point where he was sweating, and it said that drops of blood were coming from him as he was sweating. Now, I've never seen that happen to somebody, but guess what? That means he was perplexed at that moment. He knew what was going to happen, but he said, nonetheless, God, your will be done. Amen. And I'm going to start off today with, it's not easy to dig deeper, but it must be done. Right? Have you ever had something in your life that you thought it was going to be easy? You try doing it, and then you get into it, and it's like, what am I doing? Right? And you're too far at that point to stop doing it, so you got to keep on doing it. This reminds me of a time me and my dad were. And let me say this real quick. Me and my dad are not people that work on cars, right? But one day we went into the garage, and this was my first Lexus. I had a 93 LS Lexus. I don't really know what color it was. I liked the color, but I couldn't define the color. It was like a purplish gold color, right? And one of the light headlights went out. So me and my dad were like, okay, we got to change the headlights. And, you know, usually, let me just say this, usually headlights are very simple to change. You take one thing out and put the other thing back, pull the light out, twist the other thing in, and put it in. This car, we couldn't do that. We took off, we had to dismantle the whole front of the car almost, right, Dad? And it was like 2 hours, 3 hours of work to change the light bulb. Now, you know, I don't know about you, about ladies, but men, when we're in the middle of those kind of things, we're not stopping till we can figure out how to get the thing to work, right? Now, I got a little bit smarter when I have my other Lexus, the green one now. And this time, before changing the light, I looked up on YouTube. YouTube. And somebody, thank God, I don't know who it is, but I praise God for him to this day. Because guess what? I could have did the same thing on the 93 Lexus. He showed me how to do it. That didn't take a lot of time. It was like a 2 minute thing. Right? But nonetheless, when you're in the middle of something, even when it's not easy, you have to dig deeper. Amen. I remember another car story. My brother, I had my car door had split one day because it was cold outside, and I tried to open the door, and I guess it just didn't work right. So the handle split. So I had to work and open my car a certain way. And Mike, I got the piece, and Michael was like, "Yeah, it'll take 2 hours for me to do it." And I was like, "Okay, cool, I got it, man. And when I get some money, I'll let you do it." So he said, 2 hours? I was like, I could do this in 2 hours. So one day, randomly, I was at my parents' house, and I was like, I'm going to just go do it, right? But what did I do? YouTube. Saw somebody do it, right? And he was, YouTube. He didn't show all the steps, but he showed me most of it. So I'm halfway into it, and I'm like, why is it not working like the guy? I'm rewinding the video. His is just does this. Mine's is not doing that, right? But I got it done within 2 hours, the same time that Michael told me that it would take. But it still was a little bit difficult because it was a stretch for me. And what I'm saying is sometimes there's going to be things in your walk with God that God is going to stretch you to do that are not comfortable, right? Because, you know, I've heard pastors say, if I tell you to do something and you say, hey, that's not my call, you're being disobedient, right? And sometimes I agree with that. There are some things that are like that. But also, leaders have to know which places to put certain people in, right? If you're a leader as a football team, if you're a leader and you want to put a lineman who runs a six flat at receiver, right, and throw him the game-winning touchdown for an 80-yard pass, that's not going to work. You got to know where your personnel is supposed to be. Amen. But what I am saying is there is going to be times where you might be that lineman that they're going to say, I'm going to need you to pull over here and do this right here. Right. And I'm using a lot of sports tech, analogies. But I want to say that there is going to be times in your life where it's going to be a stretch. You're capable of doing it, and God is telling you to do it, but sometimes your flesh and your mind says you cannot. But guess what? It's not going to be easy, but you're going to have to get it done. Amen? You are going to have to get it done. You're going to have to dig deep. And the great thing is, with us as believers, we don't dig deep within ourselves. We dig deep within God. Amen? Because when something comes up and it looks like I can't do it, what I do is I say Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Not my strength. I take the word of God and I add that in. If that's in me, that's what needs to be dug out so that I can move and go in it and not out of me like I don't want it anymore. But I must dig down and get that and hold on to that word so that I can walk in what God has called me to walk in. Amen. This is very important when it comes to digging deep. If you don't have the word of God in you, when trials and tribulations come, guess what? You're going to be like the, we're actually going to go there because I didn't even have this in my notes. But we're going to go to the story of the foundation, I believe it's called. You know what I'm talking about? The foundation where they built the house on a rock. We're going to go there because the Spirit of God has put that in my heart. Amen. But we're going to go there because if you don't have a firm foundation, which is the deepest part that you should have, guess what? When trials come, it's going to be very difficult for you to stand. Amen. Somebody say amen. Can somebody find that for me? The story of the wise man who built his house upon the rock. And while you're finding that, I think it's very important that we understand that as we continue in God, there's going to be more and more trials, more and more tribulations. But I preached the word before and I said, do not fear, because God, Jesus himself says, I have overcome these trials and tribulations and you can as well. Amen. So what you begin to do is you step out of your bubble and you say, God, I know that it looks like it's not possible, but I will trust you. I will follow you. I will walk with you. Amen. And I have my phone back there, but my iPad cannot search right now. So, all right, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Starting at 24. Actually, no, we're going to start a little bit earlier. All right, we'll start at verse 15. All right. It says, "Beware of false prophets." Somebody say false prophets. "Who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. It says a good tree cannot bear fruit, nor can a bad tree bear fruit. Every tree that does bear good fruit is, I'm sorry, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. All right. Well, I'm not even really getting into that. But when you think about your fruits, that's what's inside of you. Right now, we don't walk around and strawberries come out. We don't walk around and grapes just fall out. Right. But it's the fruits of your labor. Amen. And it's the things that come about from you. It's really your character inside you. And we have to say, God, let my character be like you. So let me make sure I indulge in your word. So when it's time to dig things up, I'm not digging up curse words. I'm not digging up anger. Right. This is for the people that are trying to figure out how to get past those things in your life. What you begin to do is you fill yourself with the word of God and with his presence. So when things happen, that's what's in you. Right. Guess what? There's only just like if we drink or eat food, there's only a certain amount of you that you can actually eat and take it, right? Or they say there's only a little bit you can actually stomach. After a while, what's going to happen? If you keep putting stuff in there and you have no release, you'll have an issue, right? So when you put the word of God in you and you fill yourself with God's presence, now nothing else can reside there. Amen. So you say, Spirit of God, this is your territory, so I want to act out the way that you want me to act out, right? And guess what? When circumstances come, you got to use self-control. Now, this week, my son got on my nerves tremendously. We had a situation where he was not listening at all, and it just kept on going. So I don't tolerate when people don't listen to me, especially my kids. So what I did is I warned them several times, and I had to pull the belt out, right? Whooped them, and then he didn't listen still. And I was frustrated to the point where I had to leave because I didn't want to hurt my son, right? Because I haven't really been that frustrated at none of my kids ever. I might have been that mad at my brothers, and that's a different thing. At least we're the same age, right? So if we got in a boxing match or something like that, he can at least defend himself, right? But my son, there's no way he could defend himself. So I had to leave. I went to my basketball game. I had my best basketball game so far. That was great, right? But I had to leave. This is the self-control that I'm talking about because I didn't want anger to control me. Even when I discipline my kids, I don't want it to be out of anger, right? That's the reason why this is just a plug. Why I say this is why we don't whoop other people's kids, because if you don't have a strong relationship with them, all you're doing is doing it out of anger. You're not doing it out of love, right? That's why people, when they do that, they go overboard. So my rule is, if it ain't your kid, you're not whooping them, right? And grandparents, it's kind of grandparents' kids as well. But outside of that, aunts and uncles, you don't need to whoop my kids. I will take care of that, right? And that's just my thing. I'm not putting that on everybody, but that is for my kids. So I think it's important to make sure, which we're talking about self-control, which is actually a fruit of the Spirit that you must learn to possess in your life. Now, guess what? Just because you have it doesn't mean that it's not going to be tested. It will be tested. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And every single one of them will be tested. Faith that is not tested is not faith. Right? Faith that is not tested is not faith. Because what begins to happen is faith must work somehow. Faith doesn't work when there's nothing going on. Right. If I can just sit down at the beach in one of those floating devices or something on the beach, I'm not going to do it in the water. Right. But if I'm just sitting down and that's all I did for years, there's no faith in that. Right. Faith is trusting God, even though you don't see how it's going to work. I'm still going to trust you. That's with Abraham. He's the father of faith. Abraham had to wait on the promises of God, like I said before, for 25 years, right? It's crazy. We don't want the 25 years, and we obviously know Abraham lived longer than what we do now, right? But we still don't want to wait for what God says is he's going to do, but that's what faith is. Not only waiting, we expect that God will do it, right? So even when things are not going right, we can say God is going to take care of it. Amen. All right, let's continue. It says, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. All right. So this is, it's deeper than just saying it. Catch that. I've seen a lot of people that say they're Christians, but let time happen. And you see different things. See, I'll never deny you, God. Even the disciples. God, I'll never deny you. Unless, you know, they leave that unless my life is in jeopardy. But this is what we have to say about the disciples. Even though they denied him once, they came back. And after that, they did not deny him. Amen? So it was a learning thing. And guess what? We've all denied Jesus, even in our walk with him. But thank God that he is gracious enough, and he gives us mercy to get us back. And not only that, it says that he is married to the backslider, which means he's in a relationship. He's constantly trying to get you back. That's the great thing about the God that we serve. You know, some people were so quick to say, oh, they're sinning and they're going to hell and they need to get there in an airplane faster, right? They just go. But God is not like that. Thank God he's not, right? We give up on people, but thank God that he does not. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, casted out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Okay? Now that's interesting because that shows you that everybody that does signs and wonders is not from God. Isn't that interesting? We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon. So we're reading Egypt. We're reading a story about the Egyptians, and in the story, as I was listening, the Egyptian magicians did a lot of stuff that was going on, right? And some of us are like, how did they do that? Well, guess what? They could do that, and I'll tell you why. Because even in the last days, it says the devil is going to do signs and wonders, right? So that means that we don't chase that. Now, this is very important to understand. This is why you don't always just There's a tent revival. Oh, I just need that guy to pray for me. I need him to prophesy over my life. We don't always go to that, right? And I'm not saying we don't go to support other churches, but what I'm saying is you don't chase people like you should be chasing God. Guess what? That's the easy way to do it. And guess what? There's going to be some corruption when you do it that way. There's going to be a leader who is not walking in relationship with God that is doing these signs and wonders. And you, if you're not in your word, you will not see it. The Bible says in the last days, they're going to even try to deceive the elect if possible. How can that be possible if you're not digging deep in your word? If you're not full of his presence? See, you can be full of a whole bunch of other stuff. Full of, oh man, did you see that episode? Full of binge watching. Anybody know what that is? That means you watch every episode. All you do is watch all the episodes, like when the season's done, right? It's on demand. And all you do, a binge watcher will watch it all day and all night. Guess what? They full of that show, right? We got to get full of the word of God. There's sometimes that I just turn the music off in the car and say, let me listen to the word while I'm driving, right? And that's a sacrifice because I love to listen to music, right? Does anybody else love music? I do. And I tell you this, driving music helps you drive when you got music going. It gives you energy. Oh, when your favorite song comes on, you might step on the gas a little bit too much, but I put mine on cruise control so I can be all right, right? Because music helps and it changes your mood, right? We have to make sure the word is the thing that is changing our mood. Amen. And it says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is the part I wanted to get to. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, and this is why I read the other ones, because you had to catch what he was already saying, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. It says, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. All right? And it says, he talks, and then it continues to talk about how the people respected Jesus because he spoke with authority. But how come he spoke with authority? Because this was inside of him. You don't speak with confidence and authority unless this is something that you know, right? Well, some people might try to, but then it's their facts are not right, right? We could talk about sports debates and you hear some people say some things and it's like, what are you talking about? Right. That's like Matt Flynn is the greatest quarterback in NFL history. And it's like, what are you talking about? He hasn't even started really on a team except for when somebody was hurt. Right. So his, and no diss to Matt Flynn. I'm just using that as an example. You have to know the facts. Some people will talk, but they don't know the facts. So if you talk as a believer, we have to know the word of God as fact in our life. This is factual evidence. When they say anything else that doesn't coincide with the word of God, you are wrong. This is what God's word says. This is what I stand on, right? Because it's deep in me. Amen. We got to have it deep in us. Two more scriptures that we're going to run to. Psalms 26, verse 2. This is what I said earlier. I'm just going to read that verse really quick about our heart. It says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. Now, why am I reading this? Because when it comes to digging deep today, what I want to talk about is that examination. Guess what? I've said this before. A test will come. But if you don't study for the test, you will fail, right? So when we come to God and say, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, This means we're asking God to test us. It says, try my mind and my heart. Now, how many of us realistically say, God, test me? Guess maybe Job said the same thing, right? Test me, God. And then that whole story went down. God, I love you so much, you could test me. God, you could. We don't talk like that to God, right? Because guess what? We're like, God, don't test me. Bless me. Right? Bless me, God. Bless me. Make it easy in my life, God. Help the days go smoothly. I mean, we want to live in a world like that, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? But it's Psalms 26. It was 26 and 2. But many times we have that mindset when it comes to Christianity. I've even heard people say, if you're not blessed, it's not God, right? And guess what? The devil was trying to bless Jesus. You guys catch that? That's why everybody that says, oh, I'm blessed, we got to find out where the blessings is coming from. Because if you're doing illegal work to be blessed, that's not a blessing. That's a curse. But you, it's funny, because some people will do anything for money. And when they get it, oh, thank God I got it. I'm blessed. How'd you get that car? Oh, man, I don't really want to tell you, but God is good. We got it. Right? No, that's not what we're supposed to do. We have to let God test us. And as he's testing us, we still have to produce trust in him. What he is doing is like when you test a battery, he's trying to test the battery. We test the battery to see if there's any more power left. Right? We say, God, test me to make sure his word is what's left. Get rid of it, everything else that's not in me. Amen? We're going to go to a story about Paul talking about examine me, similar to that same scripture, and why it's important to allow that to happen in our own lives. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Come on. Where's my notes at? 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verses 1 through 11, we'll read that and then we'll be done for today. Amen. 2 Corinthians. It's the last chapter of that book. All right. It says, this is Paul talking to the church of Corinth. This will be the third time I am coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I have told you before and foretell as if I were present the second time, and now being absent, I write to those who have sinned before and to the rest that if I come, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking to me, who is not weak towards you, but mighty in you. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Now, what is Paul talking about right now? He's talking about situations where people are trying him, but it's not for if he's really about the word of God. Maybe it was about selfish gain. Maybe they wanted to be the leaders, right? There's people that do these types of things. Oh, I didn't like what that pastor was saying. Why? Because it was too close to the heart. Right? It was hitting you. Right? And none of us want to get hit. But guess what? That's what the Spirit of God does. And what he does is he does that to help you turn your life around. Some people come to church and, man, it seemed like that pastor was talking about me. That's a good thing. You were in the right place when that happens. Right? Now, I'm not talking about somebody that knows your whole story and gets up behind the pulpit and just starts throwing your mess out. That's not what I'm talking about. But when somebody can talk and share a word of God and it's relating to the same situation you're going through, that is God trying to speak to you through the man of God or the woman of God at that place. Amen? So he also talked about us being weak in Christ, but producing the strength of God. It's very important. Once again, that's what is inside of us. God's strength is what is inside of us. So we have to humble ourselves so that he can exalt us. Amen. Now, this is the verse that I want to talk about. It says, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Right? Now, this is a scripture where I believe it highly combats the theme or the saying that once you're saved, you're always saved. Right? Because if you say a prayer and that's it, you're not examining yourself. This is how you put the word of God together, right? Now, I'll say this. Eternal salvation, as far as Jesus giving you eternal salvation, it's always there. There's nothing that can take away his eternal salvation if you abide by his word, right? That's the if, okay? Some people just believe there's eternal salvation and there's no ifs. Jesus, what he did, that will never be taken away, but you must accept it. Amen. See, it's like a lot of us is skydiving without parachutes, without practice, because I told you guys a guy did it right and landed in the net. But we're skydiving without a net, holding on to somebody, and they're just waiting for us to say, let the parachute go. Don't let it go, but pull the parachute, right? But we don't want to do that. We're like, man, I could do it. I think I'm doing pretty good. Right? You're not examining yourself because you're full of yourself. And we have to dig deeper to get that part of you out so that you trust and rely on God. Amen? The daily walk of a believer is not to try to figure out how to make their lives fit with the word of God, but it's how to make the word of God fit. It's to make the word of God lead our lives. Amen. Sometimes we're trying to say, OK, I just need the scripture to just work with what I'm doing here. Right. How many people know people like that? Well, God, I got a plan in my life. Let me find one scripture. All right. Here it is. Yeah, cool. I can go do it. You're not doing what God wants you to do. You're looking for the easy way. So you found one scripture that you Googled and it's not in context, right? And not only is it not in context, it has nothing to do with what you're talking about. If you read the scriptures around it, it had nothing to do with you, but you didn't do all that research, right? This is the issue with some of the black Hebrew Israelites. They take a scripture, one scripture, they don't read all around it. But then they say, no, this is it. Then they go somewhere else because they're trying to prove their point. But if you read the whole word of God, the word of God proves itself. Amen. And that's the most important thing, is the word of God. If you want that to be what is deep inside of you. Amen. It says, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know that you yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Right? This is a question. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But Paul says this in hope. He says, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Amen. So he's combating the people that are trying to say that he's not with God. So he said, OK, so is that what it is? Examine yourself to make sure you are in it, in him. Amen. And he's really it's not even when he says, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. He's letting you know that I am for real. This is not a game. I don't got time to play games. Paul was like, listen, I was killing Christians before. You don't want me to come back to that. Right. I mean, for real, like we got to think about if Paul was killing Christians before. And a miraculous change happened in his life, and people still ain't saying he's saved. What's the deal? He's like, man, I know what God did. You should know. Because when God saved me, he saved you because you was next on the list. I was coming to your house. Right? But and it's funny. I was talking to my brother Iman. I was talking about how sometimes we let the littlest disagreements try to divide believers. just because you don't believe this like I believe this. And I think that's foolishness. Because guess what? I tell people this. When you are going to die for the faith, they don't ask, are you Baptist? They don't ask, are you a Kojic? Are you, you know, they're not going to ask, are you Methodist? Are you Lutheran? They're not going to ask what kind of Christian you are. Or at least the phrases that we put on it. They're just going to ask, are you willing to deny Jesus Christ? And if you say, no, I'm not, then you're going to die for it. And there ain't going to be a Baptist section in church. In heaven, I'm sorry. There's not going to be a non-denominational section in church, in heaven. But it's going to be the people that have allowed Christ to be the core in their life. Where without him, there's nothing I could do. Amen? All right. I'm going to read the rest of it through 11. It says, now I pray to God that you do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, that though we may seem disqualified, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray that you may be made complete. So what's going on here is Paul is continuing to deal with the people that are saying that he's not a believer. And he's saying, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Right? Check yourself. And this is why I don't condone Christian bashing. Right? Somebody did this and, oh, we can't stand that person. He's not really saved because I have it all together. And when people start saying stuff like that, I don't want nothing to do with that. Because now they're pointing back at themselves. And if you really look at it, you are only saved because of what Jesus did. So you must accept what Jesus did and share the mercy and grace that God has given us with unbelievers and people that are even believers. Now, it's not easy, right? Sometimes you got to have self-control in that as well, but it's necessary. Verse 9 says again, for we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray that you may be made complete. Therefore, I write these things being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness. So he's just letting them know before I get there, let's get this stuff straight. Because when I get there, it might be, he said, I should use sharpness. I don't know if he was talking about his sword that he used to have. Right. I don't know what but he was saying, look, I don't want it to go there. So let's get this thing taken care of. Read my letter. And once you read this, get yourself right. Because guess what? People think Christians were weak. Paul was setting up a church in the middle of people that were trying to stop the church. It wasn't a weak thing to do. Okay. It wasn't a soft thing. It was a thing that he had to do. But it says this, I pray that you be made complete. Then he said, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction. We're talking about digging deep. When we dig deep, our job as a believer is to edify, not destruct. See, that's the thing we're doing now. A lot of people are destructive Christians. I hate to even put those words together, right? They're destroying things. They're destroying how people look at God. They're destroying how people look at the body of Christ. The Bible tells us to be edifiers. Those are people that build, not tear down. Amen. And then it says, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. So what Paul is doing is he's setting a standard for the church to live by. But he says you must examine yourself to see what's really inside of you so that you can produce what God wants. And that's to build the body of Christ up and not tear it down. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. I pray to God that you would allow all of us to go deeper. Oh God, I pray for deeper in our prayer life, deeper in our worship, deeper in understanding of your word, and deeper in applying your word, oh God. We pray to God for us to move as you've called us to move, with grace, with mercy, dear God, edifying, dear God, and even encouraging people that don't know you to come to know that you are the greatest thing in this life. Oh God, I pray to God that you be with us and our families. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.